What if I told you there's a way you could be a second shooter at a family session so you can see exactly how the photographer prepares, how they interact with their clients, what they say when they're posing, or when they choose to use fluid motion, what they do when kids might not cooperate or dad might not be in the session? What if I told you there's a way you can see what the gear is that they're using, where they're positioning themselves when they're shooting, what factors they're taking into consideration when they're shooting? What if I told you there was a way you could see what their straight out of camera images look like, and then you could see their editing process too, so you know exactly how they get those start to finish images and those polished ones you see in your Instagram feed? Now, what if I told you could be that second shooter without ever having to leave your house? What if I told you that not only do you get to watch it from home, but you didn't have to remember every single thing you were trying to learn the first time you watched it? What if you could watch and rewatch as much as you wanted? How would that improve your images, your posing, your confidence? Now, what if I told you there is a way you could be a second shooter not only for one photographer, but 26? That's exactly what you'll experience inside the 2024 Online Family Retreat. Your inspiration will soar, your art will improve, your posing will become more fluid, and your confidence is going to increase so, so much. And honestly, your clients are going to feel so much more comfortable. Head on over to themilkyway.ca/family retreat. It all gets underway May 29th, and we hope to see you there.
We cannot just show up on a session and expect the same kind of results personality-wise if we didn't do the homework in the beginning. So I do a lot of pre-session consultations, wardrobe consultations, a questionnaire to get to know them. I sit with them at hair and makeup when I am not holding my camera and I'm just talking to them while they're getting their hair and makeup done. All of that allows me to get to know them, break down those barriers. They're not nervous anymore because they've gotten to know me through all that process. So I think that helps, number one. And then number two, just like I said earlier, just being silly and making them laugh at me, I think really helps. And just talking to them, I think too much silence with a teenager is a bad thing. So you want to constantly tell them what you're doing, why you're doing it, ask them questions. I refer back to the questionnaire on a shoot. I'm like, oh yeah, that story you told on my questionnaire about that memory in high school, that's so funny because this happened to me and I share that, or things like that. I think that's really what gets their personality out.
Welcome to the Art and Soul Show, where we dive into heart-opening chats on photography, business, life, and that messy in-between. I'm your host, Lisa DeJaso, a mom, a photographer, and entrepreneur, and I'll be sharing honest conversations and advice for photographers with insight on mindset, entrepreneurship, and creativity. The goal of this podcast is for you to be able to gain insights and strategies that will get you real results. Because let's face it, having a photography business can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. This is the place you can go when you need a boost of encouragement, a kick in the pants, and inspiration to pick up your camera. This is the Art and Soul Show. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to dive into today's conversation with Leslie Kerrigan. Leslie is a photographer in South Carolina, specializing in high school senior portraits. She's obsessed with helping other photographers be successful and profitable in their senior photography business through her education site, Seniorology. In addition to teaching photographers through her coaching program, she has hosted her own workshops and conferences, as well as spoken at WPPI, Creative Live, Click and Moms, and PPA. She's had her work featured in Rangefinder and the Wall Street Journal. When she's not photographing senior clients or helping other photographers with their businesses, she can be found hanging with her family, including her husband, two teenage boys, and Henry, her toy doodle. Welcome, Leslie.
Thank you so much. You'll probably hear Henry bark in the background.
I love it. I love it. Maybe he'll make a little cameo.
You might.
Never know. So tell us really who you are and what you're really, really passionate about. I know that I kind of like dove in a little bit on your bio there, but I want to know more.
Well, I am super passionate about helping other photographers because when I started, I didn't really have any help. And I know that sometimes, you know, reaching out to other photographers can be intimidating and some will help you and some won't. So through that process, I figured out that, you know what, I want to be be able to be a resource for photographers so they don't have to be intimidated to ask for help. Because, I mean, it can be lonely to run your own photography business. So super passionate about helping other photographers, super passionate about helping young girls mostly. I do photograph boys too, but, you know, I do the majority of girls, but both really feeling good about themselves when they're a senior in high school. It's such a special time, you know, in your life. It's kind of scary, but exciting all at the same time. I love to connect with them and really show them what everybody else sees.
I love that. I love that so much. I'm in Canada. And so senior photography really isn't a huge thing here. Like, it is such a crazy untapped market that I'm like seriously, photographers in every city would have like a monopoly. It's insane how like it's just a wide open ocean up here.
Well, it's funny you say that because when I started a long time ago, it wasn't really a thing where I live either. The only thing that they, high school seniors, did was go get that very traditional yearbook photo where everybody looks the same on a blue backdrop with the black fake tux or drape or whatever. And they still get those. But when I started, you know, over 15 years ago, that was it. That's what people thought was the only option. And it was. But that's also kind of why I started, because every market is somewhat oversaturated with photographers. And I was like, you know what? Instead of competing with all these other photographers in my area, let me do something different. That way nobody's competing, you know, or I don't feel like I'm competing because I'm doing something they're not really doing. So I had to create my own market. So if there's any Canadians listening and you want to know how to create the market, call me.
Seriously. Well, and we'll make sure that we have all your info for Seniorology in our links for our listeners out there. So as a photographer that you have specifically focused on senior photography, can you share maybe why specifically you chose this genre and any advice for those that might be a little intimidated wanting to start working with teens?
Yes, yes. And I get that a lot about, you know, being intimidated because, you know, teenagers can be hard sometimes. I mean, you know.
So my son is 14. He's almost 14. And I'm like, where's my baby?
I know. Well, I have a 19 and a 17-year-old. So you call me when he gets, you know, a little bit older. 14 is still good, honestly.
Yeah.
And not that 19 and 17 are bad, but I mean, you know, it is a different world. But I get the whole intimidated because, I mean, they just can be a little opinionated and, you know, they think we're old ladies. I mean, you know, that's what they probably think about me. I'm uncool or whatever. So I get that, like, that mentality of, oh my God, I don't want to seem uncool or I don't want to seem like I don't know what I'm doing or whatever when it comes to teenagers. So it can scare some photographers off. But I just go with it because I'm just like, you know what? If they're laughing at me, at least they're laughing and having a good time. So I say, don't get all up in your head. They actually probably don't. They're not as critical as you might think they might be. You know what I mean? And really the goal is just to have fun with them. They want to have fun too. They want to have somebody they can laugh at, and you're not their mother. So that's a plus, right? Like, my kids think I'm so uncool, but every one of their friends likes me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But why I started focusing on seniors, number one, like I said earlier about not really wanting to compete, I shot every genre there is. I am not a baby person whatsoever. So that was out. I joke that even my own babies weren't my favorite when they were babies, just because I don't like to not know what's going on. And, you know, babies can't communicate. Anyway, so that through all those different genres of weddings, I don't love, only because you can't redo them if something happens. I mean, that's super stressful. And I just, you know, I do mesh well with teens, and they actually mostly want to have their photo taken, or even if they don't, they'll sit still and do what you tell them to do, whereas kids, you know, run around. When I was first starting out and taking photos of kids, where I live, it's very southern. I'm in South Carolina, and every mother wanted that perfect photo, and that is not what kids are. So I had to get out of that real fast because I'm like, look, that's not, I mean, you're not, you can have the perfectly posed sitting on the porch and pretend that the whole, you know, day was perfect, but really they were throwing blocks at each other or whatever. So anyway, seniors tend to do what you tell them a little bit more. So
they can take a little bit more direction. And you know, it's so funny. I was just thinking, I was like, if you think about like back to when you were actually that age and a senior, I don't think I was thinking about anybody else beyond myself.
Right.
At that age, right? Like, I wasn't judging other people. I was so worried the world was judging me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Absolutely. So, Well, and you can, you know, no matter what age you are, most everybody's been a senior at this point in our lives, right? So you can remember what it was like. And it's not that much different than, you know, when I was a senior versus when current seniors are seniors. You all go through the same stuff. So I think you can relate to them on that level and really just give them the opportunity to just have fun and be okay just with it being all about them and not, you know, not worry about anything else. Just have a good time.
I love it. And it's such a beautiful thing to just celebrate that time of a child's life, really, because it's such a age of like transformation.
Yeah.
Of like, and all those questions like, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do for a job? And it's just like, you know, I'm not done being a kid yet. I have no idea.
Right.
And so it's kind of just that time where you get to celebrate them, just who they are with that personality right then.
Right.
So it's so special. I love that.
And it also is just a great time to celebrate because family dynamics change, especially when the oldest one goes off to school. So that's super important too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Now, I think there's a little bit of a fear, especially when posing female teens and seniors, especially with sexiness and making sure things are not coming across too sexy. So how do you deal with that when you're working with a client?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to look at the way they're dressed.
Yeah.
Because if they are dressed a little bit more in a revealing manner, then your poses have to go the complete opposite, right? Like they have to be way traditional, in my opinion. If they're a little more covered up in what they're wearing, you might can push the boundaries a little bit. I mean, never being too sexy or anything like that. But I'm saying like, you watch individual clients a little bit more is my best advice. There are some girls that can pull off like this model type pose and it doesn't appear to be wrong for them, right? And then there are others where you know that this girl's a little more traditional or, you know, maybe she wore something that maybe I don't want to focus too much on whatever that outfit might be focusing on, right? So I think it's a little bit of watching your client, knowing how far you can really kind of push them in one direction or the other and what they're wearing. And I often always say, please don't wear something too short or too tight because then you really are limited in posing.
Ah.
Because no matter what you do with something too short and too tight, it's still too short and too tight. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I also think start out very easy and simple. Always just very easy, simple poses. Then as you're getting more comfortable with your client, again, you can see how far you can push them. And also tell them not to wear strapless.
Right.
Because, you know, if you get too close, it looks like they don't have anything on. So,
yeah. Good point. Now, I have a question actually with the social media is like, especially in the teenage, like we never grew up with that, with seeing everything on social media, seeing all your friends with filters. How, as a photographer, are you finding the response when they are getting their photos on and we're not putting filters on when it's something maybe they're used to doing?
You know, I haven't run into a ton of my clients using filters. I one person stands out in my mind and it became a joke because she always applied a filter. But most often I don't find that they're applying filters. And I find that they like the very natural, this is who I am and, you know, the best possible way rather than applying the filters. I feel like sometimes the filters kind of cover up something that maybe they think they need to cover up. But if you do a good job on the session of making them feel really good, then they end up feeling really good about the photos. I mean, I joke and say you could take a really crappy photo, but if you made the person feel really good about themselves, then they're going to love that photo no matter what. So then I think that eliminates the need to put a filter on it. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
That's my theory anyway.
I love that. I love that you're not running into that because it has always just been like a wonder and a concern just with all the kids just being like, it's just so inundated it.
Right.
And I mean, even like me, like I'm 45 and like, heck, I will throw the Paris filter on just to smooth my skin. Like,
right? Absolutely.
No shame in the game, right?
Absolutely. I once put the doggy filter on just to be funny. And somebody like messaged me and told me how dumb that was. And I was like, oh God, okay, sorry. Because I didn't have makeup on. I was like, oh, okay, let me just throw this filter on and be funny. And it did not go over well.
It's so funny because I'm on TikTok and I'm just like, the filters are getting like terrifying. Like I can like side tangent. I can't even imagine online dating with the catfishing that you can do with it. Like it's nuts.
Right? Oh my God. Right. Well, the orange filter was a big thing for a little while. And the one person that sticks out in my mind that kind of became a joke, it was very much that orange filter, which I do think has phased out, thank God. Yeah. So, I know, right? No more orange filters, please.
I love it. So what I really love about your work is that you really also pull out the personality from your clients. So can you maybe share your process to extract a client's vibe?
So I think the major thing you have to do is prior to the session. We cannot just show up on a session and expect the same kind of results personality-wise if we didn't do the homework in the beginning. So I do a lot of pre-session consultations, wardrobe consultations, a questionnaire to get to know them. I sit with them at hair and makeup when I am not holding my camera and I'm just talking to them while they're getting their hair and makeup done. All of that allows me to get to know them, break down those barriers. They're not nervous anymore because they've gotten to know me through all that process. So I think that helps, number one. And then number two, just like I said earlier, just being silly and making them laugh at me, I think really helps. And just talking to them, I think too much silence with a teenager is a bad thing. So you want to constantly tell them what you're doing, why you're doing it, ask them questions. I refer back to the questionnaire on a shoot. I'm like, oh yeah, that story you told on my questionnaire about that memory in high school, that's so funny because this happened to me and I share that, or things like that. I think that's really what gets their personality out.
I love that. Now, what about clients that tend to be on the shy side? Sometimes it's the parents that book it and they've got this really introverted kid that they're really hoping that you can bring out of their shell. So what would be your approach when working with a shy client?
That is very true. And I can remember those clients. You know, they kind of stand out in my mind and it's a little bit of a challenge. And I won't sit here and lie to you guys and say that I haven't had some that I just never got it out of. I have. I mean, it's happened. And at a certain point during the session, you just know that this is all this person's going to give me, and that's fine. But they're few and far between, like I say, because I do all that work up front. And I do think that showing them the back of the camera, showing them the poses yourself, having that conversation during the photo shoot, as opposed to it only being about do this, do that, that tends to help. Sitting with them at hair and makeup definitely helps. But again, you also have to watch your clients because those shy girls are never going to probably be okay going some crazy pose, right? So, you know, you just know which ones you can push a little bit more posing wise and which ones you have to stick to the more traditional poses. But getting them laughing and talking is the best way to get them out of their shell. And I can literally talk to a lamppost for an hour and a half. So,
Well, I think honestly, it's a skill that you really need to develop as a photographer, is like really just finding ways for people to be at ease with you and to relax in front of your camera. Because as you and I both know, the minute someone starts to have that doubt, you can see it in their eyes.
Right. Oh, yeah. And then they shut down.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I think praising them along the way, showing them the back of the camera so they know, because I think the worst thing is them just not realize, they don't know what we're doing. So if you don't show them, hey, you're doing this really well, and oh my God, and praising them and say, oh, girl, that shot is amazing. I think that goes a long way, especially when it comes to teenagers feeling, you know, somewhat awkward. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have some teenagers that I don't even have to pose because they come prepared, but most are not that prepared. Most are, you know, most of us don't have our photos taken all the time.
No, it's funny because I'm sure your children were the same as mine. Like he grew up with a camera in front of him, but now,
does not want his photo taken, probably.
Painful. And so last night I was like trying some lighting in my studio and I had my son come in just to help me. And they're so funny at how awful they are and how miserable he is. And like, he needs me to know this, right?
I get it. But you want me to tell you a little secret about the video that I did for the retreat? It's my son, and I had to buy him an Xbox to get him to do it. Oh. So there you go.
I mean, we still bribe around here too. I took him, no joke, we did the test shots. He helped me build a fake wall. And then he's like, Mom, can we order Skip the Dishes? And I'm like, oh, babe, it's like 8:30 at night. It's going to take an hour to get here. I'm like, let's just go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I paid him twice.
What you gotta do, right?
He's still cheap. So I'm sure without clarity beforehand, a photographer can really run into a senior session that turns into an entire family session, including grandparents and extended family, which I mean can be great, but only when it's pre-discussed prior. Now, can you maybe share your advice on making things crystal clear with your clients so you don't end up photographing a family reunion when you actually booked a senior portrait session?
I do love when my clients bring a sibling or their mother, especially just because moms are rarely in the photo. So I do, when I am talking to them when they're inquiring, when I'm talking to them after they've booked through the pre-session consultation, I mentioned, you know, hey, it's always a good idea to have maybe your mom dressed up and ready for a photo, or not super dressed up, but just ready to jump in a photo. And then sometimes that turns into, well, what about the entire family? And I'm okay if it's the immediate family. And I just say, okay, yep, we'll grab a very few in the last 5 minutes of the session because this session is all about the senior. But if that turns into, well, what if I can bring my dog and my grandma, da, 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 then you just have to be very clear that, okay, more people just means that it's its own session. So happy to book. Let's go ahead and book that. Let's go ahead and put that on the books. We can do a mini session that is a family session, or we can do a full session. But either way, once you get over about four people, that becomes, because, you know, they're going to want the senior with grandma and grandpa and the, you know, all the different variations, right? And that does become more than 5 minutes. So I think when you talk to them in the inquiry, being upfront about that, who will you be bringing to this session? If you want to bring your mom or your sibling, that's fine, but it's the last 5 minutes and that's it. If that becomes more, well, what about my whole family? Then you just say, let's book that as a separate session because this session is all about the senior and that many people will require more time and that becomes its own session. So you just have to tell them. I mean, and most clients are totally okay with that.
And I think that's the funny thing is it's something that you don't really realize in the beginning that you like all the things that we, you know, are clear about now are probably things that we bumped up against ourselves. Like I remember, like, I think I'd been shooting maybe less than a year and I booked a family session and I was expecting five people and 22 people showed up. And I was like,
oh my God, were you so stressed? I would have been.
Oh yes. I was like, what happened here? Like, how did I mess this up so badly that they thought 22 people was perfectly fine to bring?
Right.
For the price that I'm charging. Like, what?
That's crazy.
Like, it was literally five. It was two. I think it was two. It was the grandparents. And then it was like five.
And then there
it was just nuts. It was nuts. Yeah.
Well, you know, you can always add to the questionnaire, who will you be bringing with you on the shoot in case they just never talked about family, right? Because, I mean, that's another thing. They didn't know what they don't know, you know what I mean? Like, so they didn't know not, you know, not to bring that many people or not to tell you that they were going to bring that many people. So adding that to the questionnaire can help. And I do always say, bring with you who is going to be the most supportive, but also don't bring too many people because it'll feel like you're on display.
Yeah.
So I think that can help too. But definitely a pre-session consultation. I do a wardrobe consultation, which is kind of my pre-session slash what to wear.
Yeah.
And that's when we talk about it. Okay, so who's coming with you? And I take notes. And so those types of things can help you pull out what you need to know because clients don't know what they don't know. They don't know what we know anyway, you know?
Exactly. And even I remember like adding in about mobility issue. And like that was one that was huge. I was like, I had planned this location and it was not something, you know, this is maybe 2 years in and I wasn't asking this question. And then we got to the location and I was like, oh gosh, this is never going to work.
Right.
So I need to like make sure that this is on me. I need to be asking these questions. Like,
oh yeah. Absolutely. I think my policies and procedures change every year because of something that I didn't think about putting in there because it happened. And on the fly, you deal with it, but then you take your, you're like, okay, I'm learning from this. This is now what I have to put in my contract or my policies or whatever, or what you have to ask your clients.
Yeah. I think there's a misconception maybe with newer photographers thinking that when they do bump into these things, they're not normal, or like they're a bad photographer, they're a bad business person. And it's really not the case. Like, we're just learning from all these lessons too. Like, none of us has got this figured out perfectly.
Well, I mean, I've been in business for over 15 years and I learn something new every year. I'm like, oh, that's going in my policy.
Seriously, right?
Because you can't possibly foresee what could come up. So have a general policies plan, have a general contract, but it's always evolving based on what you learn in everyday dealing with sessions and people. And every client's a little bit different. And some will push you a little harder than others, right?
Oh, yes. So let's talk maybe a little bit about marketing for teen photography. So maybe can you share your thoughts on some innovative ways to start getting your name out and booked?
Yes. Well, I don't know how innovative this is, but teenagers are on social media. So that's number one. And I run up against this a lot helping other photographers, you know, especially if they are around my age, which is, you know, we didn't grow up with social. It doesn't come easy for a lot of us, right? But with teenagers, that's where they are. So you got to figure out a way to be you, but be you on social, right? And attract them. I mean, I always go with about 5 marketing things with seniors. Senior model team, social media, SEO and blogging. Your website needs to attract high school seniors, so you don't want them to see newborns or weddings or any of that right off the bat. Doesn't mean you can't do that. It's just if you really want the majority of your business to be on seniors, they need to see themselves, right? Same thing for your social media. They have to see themselves on your social media. So if you're showing a whole lot of other genres and not a lot of seniors, it's kind of a catch-22. I mean, I get it. You got to go out and create some content because they've got to see that. And then word of mouth is the other, is the fifth thing. But, you know, moms talk. So giving your clients a really good experience and really giving the mom a lot of, and I say moms, it could be dads, whoever, but moms are typically who book me, but giving them a lot of info and helping them being super organized, they're the ones that are going to spread the word of mouth a lot. The girls will talk to their friends, or the boys will, you know, say who their photographer is. So that's other word of mouth, but then they will share it on social. So they're going to share it a little bit more. Mom's going to share it on Facebook. So I think those, while they're not super innovative, I guess, that's what works. Like, just being consistent in those 5 things, that's how you get your name out there. But you got to have the content to do it.
Love it. So tell me more about senior model team.
Yeah. So senior model team, it is actually funny story. The only reason I even ever did a senior model team was the very first time I ever went to WPPI. It wasn't even a class, but have you ever been to WPPI?
I haven't actually.
Oh, no. You need to go. You totally need to go. It's super fun. But everybody piles out of a class and the women immediately go to the bathroom. Like, that's what we did. Okay, so we're all in line in the bathroom and I'm like eavesdropping over this conversation between 2 other photographers and I hear the term senior spokesmodel team. And she really didn't elaborate, but I was like, you know, I mean, spokesmodel is pretty self-explanatory, right? So I'm like, okay, so I literally went home and started figuring out, okay, how can I do this? And that was right when I also was deciding to specialize in seniors. And that, I would say, is why I'm where I am today. If I hadn't have done that, I would not have gotten my name out as a senior photographer because I was marketing myself, but I'm one person, but you have a team of spokesmodels who are also helping you market. You've got that many more people talking about you to people they know, and then it's a domino effect. So in a sense, it's a team of high school senior girls that help you market your business and give you that content that you need in order to say, I photograph seniors.
I love it. Now, are you exchanging images for them for their, I guess, referral marketing, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah. It's referral marketing. And way back when I did my first team, I think it was class of 2012, that was very extremely referral based, meaning you have to do this in order to get this, right? Like you have to get one referral in order to get your individual senior photo session was what I did. Nowadays, I would say that because I've had a team since 2012, it's a little looser when it comes to referrals. I mean, yes, they're supposed to share their images, and yes, they're supposed to tag me in them and talk about me to their friends. But I found that over the years, teenagers are different today than they were in 2012. Not to say today's teen doesn't work as hard, but the one in 2012 really did, like went out of their way to help me, right? And now it's more, I think it's more experience-based and they want it to feel authentic. So if you give them a great experience, then they are sharing and telling their friends about you. And of course, tagging you every time you do photo shoots, because as a model team member, you do get more than just your senior photo session. You get to participate in these group sessions with the team. So you're kind of constantly always getting content throughout the year, both the photographer and the team to share. So therefore, you're always in front of someone with fresh new content.
I love this because I'm a newborn photographer primarily, but I also love children's fine art. And so my brain's going, I'm like, what if I had a children's fine art team?
Oh, I think you totally could. Yeah, I think it could apply to several genres. I mean, the bottom line is every client could actually be a spokesmodel. You could create a card to give every single client at the end of their session that says, if you tag me, you'll get $10 off your order or whatever you want to do, or a free five by seven or whatever. And I think essentially you could make anyone a spokesmodel, or I do think you could have a team. Moms would eat that up because they'd want their child to be on it.
And how big is your team?
So my first year in 2012, I had 4. Now I have 32.
Oh my gosh. Now is 32 of the same grad class?
Yeah.
And are they from the same school or various schools?
No, different schools. Some same. I mean, there's probably a handful from this school and that school. And where I live, there's maybe 10 major high schools.
Yeah.
And also from year to year, different high schools apply. Like for class of 2024, there's a school that I didn't get any applicants from this year that I do have currently on my team. So it fluctuates a little bit. Back when it was very, very referral based, I limited the number per school because I didn't want them feeling like they were competing for those referrals. Now that it's more experience based and, there's no set, you have to get 5 referrals type thing. Now I don't necessarily limit it.
I love that. Now, what does the application process look like?
They sign up for a VIP list so that they're the first to know around November, December of their junior year. All the ones that get on the list get the info and the application, and they have to fill that out by a certain date. Then those that apply get invited to model info night, and they have to bring a parent because one thing, I love teenagers, but they don't necessarily share all that info. So you want to make sure that everybody's on the same page because it's not free, but they come to model info night. It allows me to explain the program in person because even though there's a detailed, magazine that goes out detailing the program, A, not everybody reads everything. B, sometimes explaining it in person is just a little bit better, right? So they have to come to that. I interview, and I say that because it's not a formal interview. It's just I want to make sure I talk to every single person because I just want to make sure they all will get along and are all super excited, like their mom's not making them do it kind of thing. I want to make sure they're going to participate. And then I just pick which ones that I feel like are the best fit that, kind of fit my brand and will mesh well together.
They pay to be part of the program too?
Yep.
I love that because that would just really eliminate no shows or just flakiness. That would really, really help.
Yeah, they're just much more invested if there is a fee. Now, don't get me wrong, I did it free for several years. And I probably wouldn't tell someone starting out to do it free because it's a lot of work. But at the same time, if I hadn't have done it, I don't know that I could have gotten somebody on board because I was somewhat of an established photographer, but I wasn't seen as the senior photographer, right? So and nobody did a model team. So it'd be very weird to try to convince somebody, hey, pay me whatever, to be on this thing you've never heard of from this person you've never heard of. So I like to create the demand before I kind of charge, So now everybody wants, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people want to be on it. So now it's, kind of a no-brainer. But yes, you do pay.
I just think it's brilliant. I love it because you could really use this for so many different genres. I think that's fantastic.
Well, I mean, it's basically taking influencer marketing before influencer was a thing. Spokesmodel is influencer. It's just nowadays we use the term influencer.
Totally. Oh, I love it. My brain's gone all on fire right now. I love it. So you ready to switch gears?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to go into our lightning round. So coffee or tea?
Coffee and tea, sweet tea.
I'm Canadian and I don't really know what sweet tea is. Is that like Nestea iced tea or is it like?
It's iced tea, but you have to make it with the sugar like when you're making it, not put a thing of sugar in it afterwards because that don't work.
So is it, it's like a tea bag?
Yeah. So I just made some last night. You heat up 4 cups of water in the microwave. It has to be boiling water. So however you want to heat it up. 2 tea bags and you let those steep for a little while. Then you make a simple syrup, which is 1 cup of sugar and 1 cup of water. Mix those together. And then you add cold water until your pitcher's full.
I've never had
sweet tea. It's so good.
We just have like the Nestea powder stuff.
Yeah. They do make sun tea where you could like, I've never done the sun tea, but where you put the tea bags in water and let it sit out in the sun. That's like an old school kind of way, I think.
Oh, I might try that this summer. Favorite TV show as a kid?
So as a kid, what did I love? I mean, I watch TV all the time. Okay. Like I'm a TV, probably watch too much TV. I loved like Give Me a Break and Silver Spoons and, oh gosh, Facts of Life. That's telling my age, but I loved all those.
Yep, same. You're Cosby my people. Show, I'm an old kid. I watched everything.
Yeah, everything, yeah. I even watched Dallas before I was probably old enough to watch Dallas.
Yep. Yep. I remember coming home and watching Young and the Restless.
I still watch Young and the Restless, girl. Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started. My mom watched it, so then I watched it, and now I still watch it. I used to plan my – before I was a photographer, when I had, like, you know, a different kind of job where I actually had to go to an office, I would go home from 12:30 to 1:30 so I could have lunch and watch the Young and the Restless.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. I love it. So good. Morning person or night owl?
Morning.
Morning.
Yeah.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to own my own clothing store. I used to sit in church and design clothes on the like back of the bulletin.
Well, that's so funny because when I was 19, I moved from my little small town to a university and I took the business program and I wanted to have a clothing store called My Sister's Closet.
Oh, that's cute. Mine was called Social Butterfly. I had a logo and everything.
I love it.
I think basically when I was little, I just wanted to own my own business.
Yeah, me too. And I loved marketing. Like loved marketing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I used to play, you know, my own business or office or what, like, you know, it was just always some kind of my own business. Yeah, that's so funny. We both had that.
Do you like to cook? And if you do, what do you like to cook the most?
That's a hard question. I do cook, yes. I like it better when somebody tells me what they want and I can just cook that instead of me having to try to come up with the meal. That's the part I don't like, but I don't mind the cooking part.
Yeah, I love it.
And what do I like to cook them? I mean, I like to cook spaghetti.
Yeah.
Tacos. We do that a lot too.
Favorite guilty or not so guilty pleasure?
Probably watching TV because I love, like, literally, that's one thing that I've done since I started my business was to shut it off at a certain time and go watch TV and then go to bed. Like, I'm big on that. I would say silly shows. I mean, I watch, you know, all kinds of reality and non-reality. So probably watching TV. I also do like to relax in a bubble bath every now and then.
Same. Love that. What are you most grateful for in this season of life?
That I have a great family, 2 healthy teenage boys, knock on wood, and a photography business that allows me to do stuff like this, which I never, even back when I was playing business and all my own business, I never thought that I'd get to meet such amazing people and travel and meet other photographers. So, you know, all that.
What's been the best piece of business advice you've ever been given?
Stop worrying about what other people are doing. Put your blinders on as hard as it is. And then my best piece of advice that I like to give is to just do it. Don't just do it. Like, don't think about it. Because honestly, that's probably been the best thing that I've done in my own business is if I think about it too much, it'll keep me from doing it. So just do it. Nobody cares if it don't work out. Nobody's paying that much attention. I mean, you know what I mean? And even if they are, it just shows that you tried something and you tried something else. So
I love that. Where can our listeners learn more from you?
So you can follow me on all the stuff, seniorology.com, and it is spelled with an I-E, kind of like anthropology. So that is a website full of resources. I do have my own photography business, Leslie Kerrigan Photography. So you can find me there as well. Have both Instagrams, both TikToks, both Facebooks, both all the things.
Love it. And you're joining us as an instructor for the online family retreat. So can you share what you're going to be teaching on there?
So as I mentioned earlier, I bought an Xbox for my child. So he is helping me just demonstrate how to prep, pose, and edit senior boys. So I go through the whole process of what I do to prepare them, because that's important, and how I pose them. So you see me actually do a senior session with him, and then how I edit. So yeah, it's exciting. It was fun to do. And my favorite videographer, Nate, was my videographer. So shout out to Nate.
Oh, Nate did amazing. I watched. It was good.
Oh,
I loved
it. Okay, good. Yeah. He's so awesome to work with.
So I'd love to end my interviews just with this last question. And it is, what are you currently curious about or artistically curious about?
I think right this second, I literally just Marco'd some photographer friends of mine, Marco Polo. I feel like I'm at that stage where I've kind of been doing the same thing for a while. And I almost want to like go back to the beginning and relearn, or just something to push myself a little bit more creatively when it comes to taking photos. So I think you go through that as a photographer. When you're first learning, you kind of feel like you don't know what you're doing. Then you get the hang of it. Then you kind of stick with that for a while. I just think I'm right now curious as to how I can take what I've been doing for so long and make it even better, because I think we can always learn, you know, be a little more creative with shoots and things of that sort. So that's what I'm mostly curious about right now.
I love that. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, my beautiful friends, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation just as much as I have. I am sending you so much of my light and my love today and every single day. We will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Art and Soul Show. If you're the kind of person that likes helping others, please share this podcast with your photographer friends. Sharing is caring, and it's our mission to help as many photographers create a business and life they are truly passionate about. I'm here to support you on your journey, and if you have any questions, topics, or guests you would love to hear from, please shoot me a note at lisa@themilkyway.ca, and we may even feature your question in an upcoming episode.